Yo, welcome back to Getting a Different Era, and as it is, we still working on Pulelo. I haven't been posting to this frequency in a while. Let me just see if everything is up and running, but yeah, been kind of busy doing a few things, so apologies in advance to everyone who's been expecting something on the site, and yeah, just haven't been pushing stuff out. It's my fault. Yeah, let's see, what was the last thing put out on Pulelo? Okay. In case you haven't been paying attention, we've had some performance issues in the past few weeks whereby the homepage was taking forever to load, and to the point whereby sometimes it would time out, so I had to actually fix that performance issue, and it kind of delayed the features that I wanted to work on. But the features were really nothing that users would notice once those features got deployed. They were just some features I would deploy to console myself. So, right. I'm just gonna go through the issue list just so that everyone knows what I'm planning to do. Okay, the first issue was to use Nginx to reverse proxy the storage provider that we are using right now. Can't do that because of technical reasons. That's what I was looking at last week after the performance issue fix. So I'm just gonna close this issue. And next one is, don't convert images that satisfy requirements. Okay, that's for me. And yeah, people would not be able to see that. So let me just close that Nginx issue. It technically cannot happen because of the state of Nginx right now. Yeah, while I was actually working on the using Nginx as a reverse proxy for an S3-like bucket system, one thing that came to mind was, actually, why is it that no one has actually integrated Express and Nginx right now? Because those two seem like they could actually work perfectly together. Oh, here's a smaller issue. Make it HTTP2. Yeah, no, I think this one is something I'll work on this week. Basically, you know, HTTP and HTTPS, blah blah blah. HTTP is basically how the protocol started, and then HTTPS was like 1.1, HTTP protocol 1.1 or something like that, and then HTTP2, blah 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 blah. Everything is entirely HTTPS, so on and so forth. Guasha Akrima. And then build instead of create, so errors don't get written to the database. This I actually don't understand. I think I might be getting it from somewhere else. And I didn't even provide a description for this issue. Build instead of create. Oh, okay. Now I see, I see. It's basically transactions. Database operation transactions. And add frequency payout button. In case you guys don't know, you could actually generate money from Pulelo. It's just that I've locked out that feature. If anyone wants to monetize their page, they can send me an email, and then I'll send them the link, which will allow them to do it via the site. The functionality is actually live. It's just that the UI that leads people to the page is not on the website. So yeah, the other thing that's not on the website is the UI that leads you to paying out. So you've gathered these many tips, and then you want to get your money into your account, so you actually request the payment from the website. So I still have to do that. The main concern is the payout is actually a manual procedure because our banking system is stupid. You cannot use an API to tell it to send money from one account to another account, because that would have been the easiest thing for me to do, whereby everyone who monetizes their Polelo frequencies and enters their banking details, I just add them to my banking app or whatever, and then I set up whatever limits, and then whenever that thing goes out, I will just review all the transactions and say accept, 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 and then the payment is made manually. But then now, man, it automatically, after being reviewed by someone, but now I'd have to actually make manual payments. So that's the reason why I didn't add the payout button, because I cannot guarantee that I will always be around to pay out people. And yeah. When money is involved, people get really, really violent. You know? Now, the site hasn't been that stable, but, you know, people are not really paying for it. So, at least I can fix it at a time that works with my own personal schedule. But, you know, as it grows, I'm going to need to then say, okay, I'm getting someone to focus on the site. And, okay, the next issue then is implement structured data. At least for the waves. This is just a search engine optimization issue, which I don't think works for podcasts like that, because Google actually has a mechanism to discover podcasts. And yeah, we are providing an RSS feed, so that should be okay. Secure the JS for the whole website. Yeah, this is a very intricate security thing. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. But, you know, there's levels to security. So this was just the next level of the security in the website. And move JavaScript from infile to loaded file. Okay, so in case you guys don't know this, part of the reason why the page loads so quick is because everything is loaded in one bundle, whereby your CSS, your HTML and JavaScript is loaded server-side, right? And then the transaction gets sent out via one request. And the benefit of this is that now, as soon as your browser gets the HTML and parses it, it's already parsing the CSS and the JavaScript. Whereas back in the day, it would get the HTML for the page first and then see, okay, this is the CSS page, this is the JavaScript page, and make the request to load firstly the CSS pages or the CSS content, which was in the header or the head element. And then after, usually it would make the request sequentially, so one after another. And then after the CSS gets loaded, it would then start loading the JavaScript, which would usually be at the bottom of the page, because that's when your page is styled and all of that stuff. Back in the day, because now the JavaScript actually does a styling in some of these frameworks. And so then the JavaScript would get loaded last. So how I did it was just say add both the CSS and the JavaScript in the HTML, and then both of them get parsed at the same time. But then, since I'm going to do the make it HTTP2 protocol, the benefit of HTTP2 is that the browser can make these requests both at the same time. Not both, but all at the same time. So let's say it makes a request to the HTML, and then the HTML says load these CSS files and these JavaScript files. Instead of the browser loading them sequentially, it can actually say, okay, I want these five CSS files and these five JavaScript files at the same time, and then the request returns at the same time, because your server has the capability of returning those files at the same time. And yeah, with HTTP2, I would not need to keep the JavaScript and the CSS in line. And yeah, so the other reason, which is the next issue of moving CSS from inline to loading from a static server, blah, 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 is caching. Because it costs data, basically, for every request when you send out, or when you refresh a page, and then the page contains the JavaScript and the CSS. What happens is that every time there's new content on the page, your browser makes a new request. But for as long as there's the same content, Your browser just keeps the content on your phone and doesn't even ask my server for the information. But as long as the JavaScript and the CSS are in the main HTML content, whenever there's a new upload, the browser can't tell that the JavaScript and the CSS hasn't changed, so it gets the whole thing. So if everything is loaded as separate files or linked into the HTML, I don't know if anyone gets this, but then the browser can say, oh, you're still using the same JavaScript file and the same CSS file, and neither of these two has changed values. So let me just use the ones that were already in my cache, and I'm just going to ask for the HTML. And similar thing would happen for images and such. So what would the next issue be? Test screen layout on iPhone X landscape screen. You know, they fucked up with having the notch thing, because now I need to make sure that website looks good on a phone with a notch or without a, whatever, without a notch, whatever they call it. And yeah, that sucks, because I don't have an iPhone X, and using, an emulator sometimes is, does not have the same effect, because some of these emulators, you can tell, look at you, no man, these motherfuckers just put a black screen on there. It's not like how an iPhone X would actually behave. But yeah, so luckily there's other people who've had this problem on the internet, so I'm just gonna follow their steps and do what's logically accurate for Polelo, and hopefully when someone uses it on an iPhone X on in landscape mode, it would actually work proper and not hide buttons that people need to press. And implement cache for static media server content. This relates to the CSS and the JavaScript stuff. Make Apple Touch icon be 180 to 180. I think I did this, but I don't think it's important, so I'm going to skip it. Run web hint when the site is complete. Blah, blah. Okay, this is just a quality check for me. Implement no open logic for all links. I think this is also a security thing. Let me see what they are saying here. Click me, same origin. You are currently viewing index. Blah blah. Imagine. Why don't you go back to the previous tab? You've been hacked. Okay, so this is some XXX type of stuff. This is so cool. I enjoyed reading about it. So basically, Konje, what happened? It's a cross origin problem. The window. There's this object called window in JavaScript, where basically it handles all the requests, right? So if you are redirecting a page, you can also say window.location and give it a URL, and then it will go somewhere, or window.href, and it would go to the URL that you gave it, cool, or something like that, right? So now when it has a link to a different website, what happens is that, or to a different page, let me not say website, the user would, the new page would then have access to something called an opener, I think, and then the opener has a certain value to it, and the value is basically the website that opened this page, and I think from there on, the person who has control of the newly opened page can then decide what to do with the opener. But this is me just looking over the blog that I was reading for why you should use the no opener attribute in your tags to open external links. But at the current moment, I don't think there's user generated external links, so that shouldn't be a problem. And add styling for print and speech accessibility. I didn't do that. I should do the speech accessibility thing because the whole site is called Polelo. God damn it. And make sure unpublished content doesn't appear on the feed also via the URL. I think this is something I do every time I touch the database structure. So I'm not going to close this issue because I think I need to remind myself quickly when someone unpublishes content. It needs to stay unpublished. And then, as the girls say, when they are not answering your call, avoid them. Yeah, but my course is ashy like that. So make sure PayFast integration enforces the alphanumeric requirement. Yeah, if a hacker's listening, that's all you need to know right there. Oh, actually, that's not a hacker thing. It's it will keep the payment from going through. Basically, let me just say it. Because it's not a hacker problem. But you never know what hackers could find out. So, with PayFast, right, the name and description of the content that you're posting to Polelo, because that name and description is also going to be used as a name and description on PayFast when someone pays you or gives you a tip, right? If you don't use alphanumeric characters in your name and your description, PayFast will not be able to process your payment, right? So, because the site looks cool, man. Looks cool as fuck. If I keep allowing people to not use alphanumeric stuff, what I'm going to do is just filter out. And then I pass the information to PayFast. Non-alphanumeric characters or translate to Roman. I haven't tried using Arabic on the website and using PayFast. I'll test that out, but it should work. But yeah, that's basically the thing. So keep everything alphanumeric and implement episode scheduling. That's in the database. I just need to make the UI for that. I think I'll bump this issue up. I'll work on that because I need a good starting point. This is a tip for everyone who wants to be working on stuff. But you know, projects are always big. I always start with the smallest tasks, and so since the scheduling now is something that's in the database, I can just do it by adding the logic. I'm just gonna do that now. I'm probably gonna have to update some queries after I implement it, but yeah, at least people would be able to schedule stuff. So this one was fixed for me because, you know, open source is beautiful. It was to fix SQLize auto migrations bugs that makes JSON type when it should make JSON. It was fixed for me. I love open source software, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have a love of your life, I would advise you to actually fall in love with open source software, because that's where all the love should be in the world. And what else is there? Okay. Add a confirmation prompt for closing while song is playing. That's an easy one. So easy, I'm not going to do it. Implement annotations, which will be shown on the timeline. Annotations, basically time markers. I should do these because Spotify says they support it. And I'm just going to put them to the test. Consider having time windows in RSS channel, blah, 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 blah. So in case you want to say when an episode is available from and to. So after that, so let's say you schedule an episode and then you say after a certain on this day, take it down. I'm going to implement something for that. Include functionality to restrict certain episodes to certain countries. This is just the feature. I personally think that, I personally think that if someone is on the internet, it shouldn't matter which country they are accessing content from. But, you know, it's a tool that other people are going to use, so I'm just going to add this feature to allow you to restrict your content in from certain countries. Okay, and this is just to say which country of origin you are in. So I'm just going to add this for Spotify integration. allow users to add details about a frequency wave while episode is being uploaded. This is just the UX upgrade. I'm gonna do it soon. Be patient with me. And yeah, it would be great. It's basically gonna be similar to how YouTube does it. When you're uploading a video, you can add the description. And I think SoundCloud does it like this as well. So yeah. And this one I'm not going to mention because it's a cool feature, and I'm going to keep it there, wait for time, blah blah blah, but it involves creators adding slots into actual content and removing them from actual content. And yeah, allow users about a frequency wave while episode is being uploaded. Allow users. Oh yeah, that's what I just spoke about. Implement a rewind or fast forward that works by swiping the play or pause button. This is a UX feature, and yeah, it's an experiment, you know. I did send a cheat out that I always find keyboard shortcuts by accident, right? So I think that's something I'm gonna do and not tell people I did until someone finds it by accident. And yeah. Yep, the recording has gone over 20 minutes, so I'm just gonna stop recording. And here's a fun fact for anyone listening right now. I'm running on Ubuntu, and I can't use Fruity Loop on this, right? So I'm using something called open source broadcasting software, but it's meant to, what's the word? Record and stream videos. That's why it's called open broadcasting software. And so I'm using it to record this right now, and I'm just gonna either force Polelo to accept the video uploader FLV, because Polelo can do the conversions in the background, or do the conversions before I upload so that I save on space on the server, which is weird because the server is supposed to handle a lot more space than one video file can actually use up. But you know, since I'm trying to save wherever possible, I'm just gonna save right now. So cool, enjoy your day. And this has been Getting a Different Era. Maybe tomorrow I'll record another episode where I talk about what actually goes behind setting up an HTTP2 on the web server. And because I'm using Nginx, basically I'll be following a DigitalOcean tutorial and talking more about what's happening in the background.